This is a recording of the Kathy Granis conference call with the National Retail Federation on October 2nd, 2012 at noon Central Time. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience in holding and welcome to the NRF's 2012 holiday forecast. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the line for your questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to introduce today's first presenter, Mr. Bill Thorne.
Good afternoon here on the East Coast, and we really do appreciate your joining the call today. My name is Bill Thorne. I'm the Senior Vice President of Communications and Public Affairs for the National Retail Federation. And as is tradition, we are announcing our holiday sales forecast for November and December. I know some of you have seen the early reports. I'm very fortunate to have both three individuals who've been very involved with this. It's Jack Kleinhentz, who's our economist, Pam Goodfellow with Big Insight, a great partner with NRF, and of course, my boss and the president and CEO of the National Retail Federation, Matt Shea. So I'm going to go ahead and start this off and just ask Matt to discuss the forecast and overall sentiment among retailers heading into this holiday season. I have some follow-up questions for him as well.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us. This is Matt Shea at NRF, and I guess we'll just start with our forecast. The NRF's forecast for holiday sales is that they will grow 4.1% this season, which is the most optimistic forecast that we've released since the recession, and we consider this very solid growth and a solid projection and a positive step in the right direction. Actual sales for last year were 5.6%, so our forecast is below actual from the previous year, but we don't consider that an indication of a bad holiday season. In fact, we think that Santa's helpers are going to be on the hook for some overtime this holiday season. As you all know, this has been a year that's really been a roller coaster for the retail industry in terms of sales on a month-to-month basis and, you know, to a certain extent for our economy as well. And early in the year, we saw signs of pretty strong sales, and then that tapered off a bit as we went into the spring, and then we saw a strong summer, and then that tapered off a bit. So we're getting conflicting kinds of indicators, and we're finishing essentially with a solid back-to-school season, which gives us some optimism, but it's clear there's still some general anxiety among consumers. So the rate of growth has slowed, and even though we've seen some signs of improvement in the economy and certain elements of the economy. And so overall, we would view this forecast as good news, considering the variables and the uncertainties that still exist in our economy and the things that are on consumers' minds, most importantly, fiscal and political uncertainties and you know, the consistently and stubbornly high unemployment and subpar income growth.
You know, Matt, you mentioned the consumer's mindset right now, and specifically how they're feeling about the economy, how they're feeling about politics, and how that's playing into their buying habits. Particularly, especially, I think there's been a lot of talk lately of the fiscal cliff and its impact that it's going to have on the economy, with many saying that if this isn't addressed, that we will enter into another recession. So tell me, we've been tracking the mind of the consumer, what they're thinking. What do they think about the fiscal cliff?
Well, it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone on the phone with us today that here in Washington, where we can literally see the Capitol from our offices, that we've got our eyes closely trained on what's happening, or maybe more to the point, what's not happening at both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue with regard to the fiscal cliff. And the economy broadly has been of concern to more than 85% of the consumers that we've spoken to about this for pretty consistently for a period of time. But recently we asked Big Insight to help us gauge how Americans are thinking about dealing with the issue of the fiscal cliff in particular. And we thought the results of that research were pretty interesting, and we think they would surprise the folks with us on the call today. The political wrangling and posturing over the fiscal cliff has caused a significant amount of frustration, really that's been translated into uncertainty among many consumers. And it's clear to us from this research that the Congress' inability to act on sort of the key measures that would ease consumers' fear over budget cuts and tax increases, could be best described, we think, as the Grinch that steals Christmas. I mean, this has the potential to seriously jeopardize how this holiday season will play out. 7 in 10 of those that we surveyed recently indicated that the current political and economic uncertainty is impacting their spending plan, and another 6 in 10 say the current fiscal cliff in particular is somewhat likely or very likely to affect their vote for the upcoming election. So, with all that as backdrop to the holiday forecast, we think it's pretty clear that this is having an effect throughout our forecast and throughout the economy broadly, and the impact of the cliff is already evident among the business community more broadly. We've seen a number of surveys that other business groups in Washington have conducted that have found similar results to the ones of our survey, which I think sort of just confirms that expectations for sales and capital spending and hiring for the next 6 months have diminished significantly because of a lack of confidence about where we're headed, and the chilling effect that the gridlock here in Washington over budget cuts and tax policies is having on the ability of any business or any household to make long-term investment and spending decisions.
Before I ask you this next question, Jack or Pam, if your line's open, put on mute if you could, because we're getting some feedback for some paper ruffling. Matt, one of the NRS divisions, shop.org, today announced that online sales this holiday season will grow 12% over the last holiday season. So what are retailers expecting in online this year?
Well, the conversation about digital retail continues and is the topic of discussion, among virtually every retailer, and that's where they're trying to make investments. And this holiday season, that's especially true given the growth in the number of people that own smartphones and tablets, and we've seen just in the past few weeks the introduction of a number of new devices from various producers, and this happened throughout this entire calendar year. So there's a proliferation of devices today that didn't exist a year ago, and they're getting into the hands of consumers in a much more embedded way. And much of the growth that we expect to see in our forecast over what we've seen in previous years is really due to the popularity of mobile and tablet devices. Mobile in particular is going to play a bigger role than ever before this holiday season, and I think that is going to include the fact that many stores are looking for ways to enhance kind of mobile shopping in-store experiences. So sort of embracing this proliferation of devices and embracing the fact that this is the way customers want to shop and looking at this as an opportunity rather than as a competitive threat. We also see things like instant text messages being sent to shoppers that offer discounts and coupons for the next in-store purchase. And I think the kind of continuing evolution of the industry, looking at their websites and not only using those websites to promote web sales, but to do other things in the same way that they don't only use their stores to promote store sales. So I guess what we'd say from the data we've seen is that we're going to move to a completely integrated shopping experience. We really are seeing consumers become channel agnostic. They don't care about where they get this. They just want a similar experience across all platforms. And we really expect the season to be much bigger than in previous years for physical retail.
Matt, the hiring is always a question. I know you've been in constant contact with our board of directors, Terry Lambert at Macy's, Steve Sachs, Mindy Grossman at HSN, and others, and talking about holiday hiring. What are the expectations for this year?
Well, just so you mentioned, Macy's in particular, Macy's just put out its numbers yesterday, and I think they're up incrementally from where they were a year ago. And our survey results indicate we're going to do hiring between 585,000 and 625,000 new seasonal employees, which is in line with the 607,000 or 608,000 that we saw last year. So it's very consistent with that. And we've heard, in addition to having heard from Macy's, we've heard from Toys R Us and Kohl's and a number of other retailers. So, for an industry that creates 1 in 4 jobs, 42 million jobs in this economy, a fifth of GDP, this is an important part of the year for the retail industry, but it's an absolutely critical part of the year for the overall health of our broader economy, in which the retail industry plays such a significant role. And, not all of these jobs will turn into a long-term career opportunity, but some of them certainly will. And so I think that the hiring numbers that we're getting out of the retailers that have responded to the survey reflect the assessment of those retailers about what they think is going to occur in terms of sales increases, and will allow them to stay competitive and take advantage of the opportunities that exist during the rest of the holiday season.
Matt, stick with us for a minute because we're going to get to questions after I have an opportunity to talk with Jack and Pam. But Jack, I'm going to start with you. You're our chief economist. You've been with us for a few years, and you've been doing this for a while. And even, I think, in a call just the other day, you told me that this was one of the hardest years that you've had in order to forecast and predict what sales are going to look like. Can you tell us more what's behind the forecast this year?
Sure, Bill, and thanks for the opportunity to speak today. Let's just broadly describe the economy is in a high anxiety state, and I don't expect the anxiety to dissipate. It's been operating in low gear, and even last week the Commerce Department released its final revision for GDP for the second quarter, and it was down to 1.3% growth. Certainly very disappointing. What is surprising, too, was a revision downward. That doesn't happen too frequently. So we've certainly experienced some soft growth and weak labor markets, just like Matt was mentioning a few minutes ago. But I'd like to point out that, throughout the recovery and actually this so-called expansion, the consumers have truly been the key driver of the economy and actually is outpacing the broader economy. If you look back at the last 12 quarters, 1.5 percentage point of the average 2.2 percentage growth that we've seen in GDP has come from the consumer sector. So I think the consumers are there. They operate. They're cautious. They're concerned. And certainly they are skittish just like some retailers. And to a certain degree, I expect that the holiday forecast reflects that extension. And I want to reinforce Matt's comment that we're talking about good news. This is not a subpar holiday sales forecast. And in fact, we have to also recognize that the fact that inflation has been somewhat benign, and as we are forecasting, we're also thinking about what price effects are. And the CPI is down below 2%. It was up about 3.3%. So we need to think about how prices are influencing, and it can be a positive force in terms of our ability to spend, too. In terms of the spending, more specifically, I'd like to just chat a little bit about some of the factors as you've asked, Bill. Certainly, as I look at how our models are built, we're looking at the capacity to spend and certainly the willingness to spend. Consumers are able to spend because they have a job, they have income, they have wealth, they have savings, they have credit availability, and all those factors I'll take a moment in a minute to kind of explain a little bit further. The capacity for spending, certainly I believe the consumer may be in a stronger position than a year ago. While we've had some tepid wage and salary growth, we've had growth. We've seen actually some wealth effects occurring to the extent that the stock market has been up. We've seen home prices and sales are up. That gives a consumer, you know, a sense of a higher value in their balance sheets. Even their balance sheets have improved. The financial obligations ratio that the Fed puts out shows that the household is in better shape than they were back in the early 90s. I also assume shoppers will reach for their credit cards as they did last year. They will use them sparingly. Even though last month we saw revolving balances go down and also overall credit, that's not to say that the consumer is going to be out of it. And I think that actually gives them the opportunity to use their credit in a way that they want to use. One of the big constraints has certainly been on spending. Income growth and wage and salary growth has, as said earlier, is tepid. And if you look at last Friday's data that came out, individuals were spending. They did have income growth, but they also had to dip into their savings to support their spending. Obviously, that's not a good sign, spending coming out of savings. But again, these numbers jump around a little bit, and I still believe that the consumers, like I said earlier, has the availability, the ability to spend. I did mention something about houses, although we don't really factor housing directly into our forecast, but the value of houses certainly are starting to see some changes, and I think that certainly influences people's willingness to spend because they feel a little bit perhaps richer. And studies have shown that the wealth effect of homes is a much stronger one actually than stock market effect. So for every dollar's worth of value in your home, you spend about 6 to 8 cents out of that dollar, which is even stronger than on the stock market. In terms of consumer confidence, that plays a role in our forecast, certainly the willingness to spend. The consumers, as we've seen, registered an uptick last week in the consumer confidence index, actually a big pop. It's really partly on the consumer expectation side, not the current conditions. Consumers are expecting job prospects should be better in 6 months. So the fact that they feel better about the future, I think they tend to spend more when they feel good about job prospects, even more so than when they think about business conditions. I think a lot will be depending on the next month or two as we see the employment figures. This Friday's employment situation report from the BLS will certainly be very interesting, since we've had some disappointing figures, broadly speaking. On the other hand, unemployment claims dipped last week, which is certainly a sign that there are more opportunities for jobs, and people are finding opportunities also. Just by way of, again, another piece of anecdotal evidence that kind of supports that this forecast isn't a bad one, is that the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia just today released its leading index for 50 states, and the indexes for the six-month outlook suggests that 35 states are projected to grow the next 6 months, while 15 aren't. I'm going to just kind of conclude here on a few comments. Matt mentioned the political uncertainty and jitters. I think those are real to the extent that they do influence spending. There's certainly some uncertainties as we think about gas and gas prices, although we've gone through that before. We've seen a bit of an uptick here, and then there's been some leveling out. So basically, broadly speaking, spending assumptions are influenced by a number of the factors that I've mentioned. I know that Matt mentioned also our forecast for employment. I've been asked about, well, does the employment forecast seem to be in line with the sales forecast? And I believe it is, because firms have been keeping a close look on inventory and employment in order to properly service their shoppers. And the latest data that we get from the government shows that retail has been improving their efficiency and their productivity. And in fact, there was an increase back in 2010 of about 4% in output per hour, which is about 1% above its long-term trend. So I think that as we look at employment, the opportunity is for a good gain for the holiday season, but also I think it'll be measured. I think Matt did a nice job of summarizing the thoughts on e-commerce, so I'll skip going over that. I guess the one wild card is the weather. We assume normal weather patterns, although last year was very unseasonably warm, and throughout the holidays and into early 2012, so that really was a factor. And though we don't normally do weather forecasts, I'll share with you the normal or the National Weather Service's forecast right now. It is enhanced chance for above normal temperatures during October and November and December, and below precipitation for much of the continental U.S. So that could be very good for us in some ways, and not so good in others. Let me conclude. I never count the consumer out. The economy may be in a lower gear, but as we've experienced, the consumer is certainly resilient. I would not be surprised if we get some lift on the backs of higher employment that might occur over the next month or so, and certainly some wage growth. And if that's so, we probably will revisit our forecast at that time.
Jack, appreciate that very much. It was incredibly insightful. And we'll have Jack available for some questions when we wrap up. Pam Goodfellow is up next, and Pam is with Consumer Insights. She's Director of Consumer Insights at Big Insight. She's more than a consumer expert. She's part of what we do at NRF for a very long time, and we're excited to have her as a part of this call, as we always are. Pam, give us some ideas, if you will, about what consumers are thinking this holiday season.
I think, first off, you just talk about consumer confidence. Matt and Jack both were talking about how, you know, we are seeing sentiment-wise headed into the holiday season, but, you know, we're still showing signs that these feelings about the economy are still volatile. In our September monthly survey of about 9,000 consumers, we found that 38% indicated that they were very confident in chances for a strong economy. Now, that's our high reading for 2012 and a vast improvement from where we were 1 year ago when we were still dealing with the fallout from the debt crisis. You know, and as Jack mentioned, the conference board came to a similar conclusion last week. But, you know, why are we calling this volatile? And, you know, we just know that the economy is still in a very precarious position. We did see a 4-point swing from August to September in confidence, and this year has been a roller coaster ride. We've been up and down and looking at confidence in the low 30% range for the past, you know, since January. So, you know, we really aren't looking for confidence to continue to improve at this pace. We're not going to see, you know, I don't expect to see a 42% reading next month. We actually will probably see continued fluctuation in confidence headed into Q4 and the holiday season. And, you know, we've got to remember that the fiscal cliff is looming, and if consumers realize, you know, if we do end up falling off there and consumers realize that this is going to make a direct impact on, you know, on their household budgets, you know, this really could throw confidence into a tailspin, affecting holiday budgets in a very negative manner. And I think to put this all into perspective, you know, we have to realize, too, that, you know, while this month's reading is a vast improvement over, you know, September readings we saw throughout the recession, it really still falls below that pre-recession September 2007 figure. So, you know, it's still a very precarious situation here, and, you know, it's we're certainly not looking at, you know, the term recovery to enter consumers' vocabulary. Not quite yet.
Well, Pam, you know, 4 years ago, and I would argue that retailers, though it was more like 40 years ago, we were heading into a holiday season with an election on the horizon. So what's different this year?
Well, a presidential election season always lends itself to that what-if uncertainty. And certainly the election occurring in November, so close to the holiday season, you know, doesn't help matters anyway. But I like to say that Santa lives at the North Pole, and he won't be voting this year. You know, we have to realize that the outcome will make some voters happy and some not so happy. And that's no matter who is elected president. And comparing back to 2008, The election and holiday season was just on a whole other level than we are right now. We were electing a completely new president amid major banking failures and the credit crunch and the bursting housing market bubble and plummeting stock market. And consumers right now are much less anxious about the stability of political and national security issues compared to that 2008 election season. And that's with the fiscal cliff looming. And with the election occurring in early November, there still will be time for consumers and retailers to get into that holiday spirit. And I think it really will be up to retailers to kind of lead that charge and move the focus from the election onto Black Friday and Cyber Monday and onward toward Christmas and Hanukkah. And I think consumers will see this as a welcome change of pace. And they'll be definitely on the lookout for offers and promotions that they just can't refuse.
Talking about offers that people can't refuse, since the start of the recession, we've seen more people take a real cautious approach when it comes to using credit cards for their holiday shopping. People are trying to save. They're trying to stay out of debt if they're not in it and get out of it if they are. So give us some insight into people's attitudes toward credit and their expenditures this holiday season.
Sure. Frugality is really still the name of the game when it comes to consumer finances. While we did see a fairly robust increase in confidence this month, we also saw similar increases in those focused on, practical purchasing and just buying the necessities. And in fact, both of these indicators are in line with what we saw a year ago when confidence was just at 22%. This is just highlighting what a cautious consumer we're dealing with this year. Consumers will be looking towards budgeting and avoiding impulse buys and really using their smart shopping strategies like coupons and sales and promotions and price comparisons and really, just making these kind of focused, targeted purchases. And consumers are really cautious because we know that the economy's not fixed. They are still very much focused on paying down debt and reducing spending. Actually, we saw the three-month plans to increase savings for their highest September reading in 6 years this month, or when we surveyed in September. So we are seeing signs that consumers are preparing for holiday spending as well as those kind of everyday unknowns. We're really trying to get ourselves back into a good financial position, better than we were back in 2008. And pricing uncertainty is still a concern with consumers. We see this with groceries and gas and apparel. And we've seen an increasing number of consumers using their cards more compared to last year for these items. So there is some financial struggle still going on among certain consumers. Now, Jack mentioned, using credit this year for Christmas, but using it sparingly. I don't think this is going to be a Christmas on credit. We've seen fewer consumers are paying off just the minimum on their credit cards year over year. We've also seen a slight rise in those carrying $0 average monthly balances. I think these kind of credit card bonuses like cash back and reward programs are really carrying clout with consumers because it is one of those smart shopping strategies. We're using credit to our benefit, not to our detriment, and getting the perks while avoiding the interest rates.
You talk to thousands, and I would venture to say over the course of several months, tens of thousands of consumers, and you're asking them about what they're looking for retailers over the holiday season. What's going to drive them to make a specific purchase with a specific retailer, whether that be in store or over a mobile device?
Well, I think consumers, they still know that they have the upper hand with retailers, and we're certainly going to see this kind of heady optimism heading into the holiday season. Mobile devices have really made there's this kind of transparency between retailers now. Consumers have the power to check prices and check availability, without being in the store or even online, sitting at their computer. And we'll see consumers working all of the angles to make their budgets work while making sure they're able to spread that Christmas cheer. So, you know, I think we'll see consumers online, in store, checking out all the social media sites and really working that angle. But also headed to coupon sites and reading their direct mail, checking out email newsletters and comparing prices and ad circulars. There's obviously the point where retailers all can't provide that lowest possible price, and so things like customer service and building relationships with your customers are still really going to be key to driving traffic and retailers who aren't these low price providers. Selection, availability, brand assortment are all going to be very, very important this year, and exclusive brand assortment is something department stores have really honed in on and been successful marketing in the past couple of years. The mindset this year is still, we're not in that 2008 area anymore. We're not calling cheap, saying that cheap isn't chic this year. That really was a mindset we saw 4 years ago. So we're still going to be seeing shoppers this year who are looking for value, not just that, the lowest priced item on the shelf. There's a quality component there too. So for a lot of people, it might make the difference between shopping a discounter over a department store, which is a trend, we've seen throughout the year for holiday spending, whether it be Valentine's Day or Mother's Day or any of those holidays in between the all-important holiday season.
Thanks, Pam. That's very helpful and incredibly insightful, and y'all do great work, and we're appreciative for the partnership that we have with you. So we're going to open this up for questions. If you have a question, I'm going to have Brandon explain to you what you need to do, and there's a lot of folks on this call, so if we don't get to you today, please feel free to reach out to Kathy Granitz or Sherry Brown, and they'll get you what you need. So if the operator would explain what comes up next.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, the floor is open for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your touchtone phones now. We will take all questions in the order that they are received. If at any time you need to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press *2. Again, to ask a question, please press *1 now.
Thanks. So, Matt, while that's queuing up, just a quick question about inventories. You know, we have a service that we provide our members called Port Tracker, where we look at the inventories that are arriving at our ports, east and west, south. And I think the last Port Tracker showed a little tick up. How do we read into that? I mean, how are retailers stocking up for this season?
Inventory management is a critical component of how you survive the holiday season and how you do better than survive and actually thrive. So a lot of time and attention goes into this part of the business. And the survey results that we've seen and the conversation we've had with retail executives, I think are so reflective of everything we've talked about up to this point about the uncertainties in the economy and how people are kind of weighing those and the assessment and judgment calls people are making, because there are probably a quarter or a third of companies that are saying they're adding inventory this year. There are about a quarter or a third that are saying they're diminishing inventory. And everyone else is sort of in the middle saying we're going to do about the same as we did a year ago. So I think that that kind of wide range reflects that there's enormous uncertainty in the economy. People are hedging their bets, maybe adding a little, maybe reducing a little, maybe kind of staying right where they were last year. And I think it reflects that this, as much as various folks would like to say this is a science, it really is an art. And those retailers are all trying to answer the exact same question that we're trying to answer here today, which is, what is the number really going to be? And this is like tracking a hurricane. and you see the cone, and you see the hurricane moving up through the middle of the cone, and the cone could be all the way to the west, or it could be all the way to the east, or it could be anywhere in between. And, you know, it all depends on how some of this uncertainty gets resolved, and that's going to determine whether we have a number that exceeds our forecast and a number that beats the last couple of years, which would be a happy occurrence, and that would be a tropical storm that just dissipates and blows away out to sea and the sun comes out. Or we could have a lower number, and that's what it looks like if we get a hurricane that blows right through our economy because the administration and the Congress failed to resolve the uncertainty.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, Hadley.
Hi, this is for Matt. Matt, you were mentioning, you talked about the growth expected due to the popularity of mobile and tablet devices, and I'm wondering if you can point to any specific ways in which consumers are expected to use mobile or tablet in new or differently than last year, or is it just expected to be more of the same?
Well, I think that the that the evolution of this embrace, both by consumers and retailers, is resulting in sort of a dialogue rather than a monologue.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think there was a time a couple of years ago, if you think back a few years ago, we could think back to a time when there were lots of businesses, retailers and other service businesses, who didn't appreciate, and I don't mean that they disliked it, they didn't appropriately value or understand the implications of, fully understand the implications of, customer reviews about products and services on their website. Today, you can't go on any website and not find a customer review. And in fact, businesses, including retailers, have embraced those reviews because they know it helps drive sales. Similarly, I think with mobile devices in particular, we've heard talk about showrooming, the process by which someone will take a handheld device and they'll go into a store and they'll shop the store to actually look and feel and touch the device, and then they'll actually buy it on their mobile device from a different retailer. I think retailers now recognize and this year are going to behave in ways that that further blur the lines between whether someone is in a store or at home or online or with a handheld. You're going to have people that are going to be in your stores with a handheld device, and they're going to be buying things from you on that handheld device. And they may not want to wait in line. They may want to have it shipped home instead of carry it with them. Any number of ways in which that relationship exists, whether it's bought in store and shipped at home, or bought online and shipped to a third address, or bought on a handheld in the store, or the configurations are virtually infinite. And I think that's the difference between trying to simply address multi-channel by being good at things independent of one another, and by actually integrating all of them into a single dialogue that exists between the retailer and the consumer. And I think that's a distinction that that we haven't seen in previous years, because it further blurs the lines between the channels. Because at the end of the day, most of us as consumers are channel agnostic. We don't really think a lot about how we get what we want from our retailers. We just recognize that when we think about wanting it, we want it that way. And that might be sitting here in our offices. Those of you that are distracted and you're doing some online shopping while we're on the phone, we think that's fabulous. Keep it up. But some of us will do it tonight on our iPad or our tablet when we're, the kids are in bed. Some of us will do it at the store on this weekend. And we don't think much about which way we do it. We just think about the fact that when we do it that way, we want it. And retailers are recognizing that that's one conversation. It's not three or four different conversations.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from Mark Heller with DNA.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I wondered if you could talk a little bit about the, and we're talking about an increase in sales. Can you talk a little bit about the share of that you think comes through, through online sales through electronic sales that may not be subject to sales tax, for instance?
This is Matt Shea. So, in general, it's our assessment that a very modest portion of online sales, although increasing because of some of the one-off deals some of the states have done, is being collected. The studies that we've done show as much as $25 billion in annual uncollected sales tax revenue, and that represented sort of the totality of all online sales, where virtually none of those online sales were subject to a sales tax in the 45 states in which such a tax exists. So that presumably is going to come down on an incremental basis until we get a federal solution, which everyone recognizes is the appropriate way to go forward. It does not make sense either for consumers or for states or for retailers to have a hodgepodge of side deals between, in a number of cases, an individual retailer and an individual state. And, were those sorts of side deals to continue, you'd see something that perpetuated the uncertainty about what was owed in which states, when, and on what products. And more to the point, you'd collect a very modest fraction of the tax due. So, certainly our position that this needs to be addressed by the Congress, that it requires a federal solution, and only Congress can address this because it's the legacy of a Supreme Court decision from 20 years ago, before the Internet was even invented by whomever it was that invented it. I'm not going to pick on any former vice presidents. And so we need to fix it, and we are confident that it's going to be fixed. There are enough bipartisan members of both houses of Congress that recognize it needs to get done. It will get done, and we can put that money back where it belongs, which is into the state so they can serve their citizens, and it'll eliminate the gross inequity that exists today between bricks and mortar retailers, including the very, very smallest. And, you know, people talk about maybe there should be an exemption for small internet sellers. Well, there's no exemption for small bricks and mortar retailers. They pay upon the first penny. But, you know, we need to get it fixed, and we're confident that there's momentum and it's going to get fixed. If not before the end of this year, then in the new year in the new Congress.
Thank you.
All right, next question.
Our next question comes from Rebecca Day with Consumer Electronics Daily.
Hi. Do you have any idea, I think this is for Pam, which categories consumers are planning to spend their money on this Christmas?
We'll definitely find out more in our October survey, but, you know, I think we're going to be seeing some of the same kind of trends we've seen in your past. You know, electronics have done very well over the past couple of years, even during the recession. We've seen, you know, the HDTVs and the smartphones, the tablets, these kind of, the prices kind of decrease or are in that range where, you know, people can see them as affordable. They're going to continue to sell. And I think, you know, those kind of classic gift items, the apparel, gift cards, those will play a role as well this year, too.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Next question.
Our next question comes from Jennifer Booten with Fox Business. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star 1. Ms. Booten, your line's open.
Hey guys, how are you? I just wanted to see, we talked a little bit about hiring already. I know that your guys' forecast with NRF is pretty much in line with last year. But I know, you know, Macy's and Kohl's have already announced that they're going to increase this year. Do you think that's any kind of sign that retailers have in the economy, their confidence in the economy for the next 2 months?
Well, you know, the numbers that we've seen appear to be on a par with what they did last year, or maybe slightly above. So that gives us some sense that we're tracking in the right range. And you know, when we both talk about our sales forecast broadly, when we talk about the specific hiring numbers more specifically, and you know, they need to be in a position to take advantage of the opportunities that come along, and you know, there are at least two ways to win and lose when it comes to competing at the holiday season. One way is to win because you've got superb tactics and execution, and you can create an opportunity for organic growth. The other way is you can win by taking share away from a competitor. And, you know, those are not always the same sorts of approaches, but both of them require, you know, an artful approach to the hiring decisions, because there's nothing worse than losing sales when they're in a store because you don't have the right force deployed on the sales floor, and there's nothing worse than losing a sale through one of those other channels because either you haven't fully developed that channel or you don't support it in the right way, and that doesn't even begin to address issues related to the supply chain and the merchandise mix and you know, the way you move inventory and get it from store to store and that kind of thing. So I think that there are certainly going to be retailers who are slightly more bullish based on what they see as their own competitive advantages in the market. And there are some that are going to maybe hedge their bets a little bit more. And, you know, that's going to be done on a case-by-case basis, I think, from business to business and from segment to segment inside retail.
Thank you. Any other questions?
At this time, we have no other questions. I'll turn it back to our presenters for closing comments.
Very good. Well, once again, we'd like to thank you for joining the call and for participating today. I think that, you know, we're going to be keeping a very, very close eye on how the consumer feels, what the consumer is doing. We'll be updating our report, and we would encourage you once again that if you have any questions or need any additional information, to reach out to us directly, to Kathy Grannis or to Sherry Brown. And I'd like to thank both of them for their good work and what they've done in putting this all together. Pam, Jack, thank you again for your partnership, and we look forward to a continued dialogue throughout the holiday season. Thanks again.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your phone lines and have a wonderful afternoon.